working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Not looking too bad out there. Currently at Hollis, you're 46. Altus, you're 48. There it goes. Eric's 39. There's a little cold spot right here between Becca, or around Beckham, Custer, Warstall, and Roger Mills County, and even up into Dewey. It's just a little chillier than the rest of the state for some reason. 49 degrees at Arnett, home of the famous Laurie Kimball. 51 at Woodward, 50 at Slapout, 50 at Perryton, and 49 at Canadian, Texas, and also 43 at Wellington, Texas. Anyway, we'll have your long ranger forecast coming up for you later on in the show. Let's check out some of the wind real quick while I got the mezzanette up. Not too bad. Looks like there's a line from Hollis through Hinton all the way up towards Newkirk. Everything east of there, the wind is getting it, and then around our area, it's not too bad, not even in the double digits, according to the mezzanette. I think it's going to get up here later on. It's going to be really pretty windy tomorrow. Tomorrow night, it's going to get a little chilly, and hope we get wet moisture that's not frozen. So anyway, I have that coming up for you later on in the show. A couple things to go over for you with you before I get to the what happened overnight in the ag world. If any alfalfa farmers are listening, or anybody that's growing sunflowers or any of that canola or any of that, and you're wanting some beehives close to you, get ready to write this number down. This gentleman moved recently here to Elk City from John's, his name, from Albuquerque. They sold their place down there south of Albuquerque, and he's got approximately 30 beehives, and he wants to set them up near alfalfa or sunflowers or canola, anything. And if you're interested in having some on your property, call him at this number, 505-859-6538. 505-859-6538. And hook you up. And I know there's been some concerns, people he's talked about when they're spraying alfalfa and stuff like that. And he can arrange to have these beehives on trailers and move them away when spraying's going on. So, if, like I said, if you're interested, he's got quite a few of them. He needs to set them in a few different properties. Call John at 505-859-6538. And another FYI for you. Remember, your USDA farm survey is due by February 6th. That's the one you get in the mail to fill out all kinds of stuff. I got mine done yesterday and got her in the mail today, but it is due by February 6th, and it is mandatory. It's a law that you fill this out if you're a farmer or a rancher. How about that? Got a lot of good things in the show today. I got a story on John Wayne. And it's really cool that I didn't know about him. I didn't know he was a cotton farmer and a farmer. And I thought I knew John Wayne, but I guess I didn't. You have guys probably seen that on the web. Some of your websites posted this a couple days ago. We got, I got a story for you on eggs. You know, eggs is a big thing. I've been posting some fun stuff on social media about eggs and dealing eggs and, like, drugs, $5 for a pack of 3 eggs and stuff like that. But it may get better, may not, until at least after Easter. So we'll talk about that coming up. Right now, let's see what, there it is. Let's see what happened last night in the ag world real quick. Soybeans and grains were mostly a little change in overnight trading as investors weighed signs of demand against improving weather in Argentina and the U.S. Southern Plains. And what I kind of did a little investigation on the crops in Argentina, and these, you know, they've been getting some rainfall, from what I'm seeing, I don't think it was a little late to help improve their crops in most of Argentina. The USDA reported more sales to overseas buyers yesterday, marking the sixth consecutive day. Exporters have indicated large purchases by international customers. China purchased 106,000 tons of soybeans. The fall in sales of 130,000 tons of beans and 100,000 tons of corn was announced Wednesday, 130,000 tons of corn on Tuesday, and 192,000 tons of beans on Monday. Large sales of beans and corns were announced on Thursday and Friday of last week as well. USDA's export sales report yesterday showed improved weekly sales of soybeans and wheat. Still improving weather in Argentina and the U.S. Southern Plains, both of which has been extremely dry for months. Rainfall this week in Argentina was near expectations, and precipitation in several states are forecast through the weekend through Monday. Additional rains across the northern areas through next week will further improve moisture and crop conditions. In the United States Southern Plains, right here where we're at, snow fell earlier this week and parts of the Texas Panhandle offer moisture for dry soils and leaving a blanket of snow in some areas. And it looks like most of your snow, not all, but most of your snow is melted. And, man, we got anywhere from 3/10 to up to an inch of rain in our listening area. Moisture, not rain, but moisture, which is great. We need it. Now we just need one of them to come in about every 5 or 7 days. We'll be set, unlike last year. Snow is expected to protect overwintering wheat from cold weather in parts of the southern plains, though some damage may occur in parts of southeastern Nebraska next week. Soybean futures rose 0.75 cents to $15.24 and a quarter a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up 60 cents to $477.70 a short ton, while soy oil gained 0.39 cents to $61.18 a pound. Corn futures for March delivery rose 1.75 cents to $6.84 and a quarter a bushel. Wheat futures for March delivery was unchanged in Chicago at $7.52 and a half a bushel, while Kansas City futures was down 4 1/4 cents to $8.60 and a half. All right. Weather in our ag belt. Blizzard and winter storm warnings and advisories have been issued for a large chunk of land stretching from Idaho into Iowa, according to the National Weather Service. In northern Wyoming, snow accumulations are forecast from 10 to 18 inches between now and Sunday, along with winds gusting up to 45. So that makes for a pretty good blizzard. In the mountains, as much as 5 feet of snow is possible. That's crazy. I know a friend of mine in Utah said over there where he goes to the snow slopes over there in Utah, they've got over 500 inches of snow so far this year on the slopes. Think about that. 500 inches. How thick that snow is. That's crazy. Snow is also forecast for parts of northern Nebraska, southern South Dakota, and northern Iowa. In northern Nebraska, from 5 to 8 inches of snow is expected, where some locally higher amounts in the forecast. Travel obviously is going to be very difficult. Widespread blowing snow could significantly reduce visibility. Wind chills in the area will drop as low as 20%. That sounds like a day just or the whole weekend, unless you got to feed the cattle. Stay at home. Mix you a really nice warm up Dr. Pepper, hot Dr. Pepper. That's what my mom used to give me when I was sick. And just watch football. And that's all I can tell you. Anyway, let's see here. When I get back, also I need to add one more thing. I just remembered. On those beehives, it doesn't matter if you're Clinton, Sayre, Butler, Hammond. He doesn't care. He just wants to move his beehives out of New Mexico and get them here. And he actually knows what, talks like he knows what he's doing with them. Matter of fact, they do honey and stuff like that. And can't wait to taste some of it. I'm going to buy some from him, see what's happening. So anyway, we come back. We'll talk about what the grain prices are right now and talk some cattle live and feeder prices and see what happened at Woodward yesterday. Elk City is going on right now. So get on out there. Man, their cafe out there is really good. So go out there and just go out there and eat lunch and then take a browse around, see how they're doing out there. You don't even have to be a farmer or rancher to go in there. Just go eat and browse around and look at all the cattle. Go in there and check out some of the buyers that are bidding against each other. Just have a little fun out there. Tell Brandon I sent you, and he may give you a free Dr. Pepper. You never know. Probably not, but anyway, he's worth a try. So, anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hi-Pro. For Hi-Pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs. Or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Once again, good afternoon. Great stewards of the land. Drew Cobb in studio going over your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, January 23rd. 1,647 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 381 brought 222. 6 at 562 brought 173. 40 at 684 brought 185.25. 56 at 883 brought 174.25. 61 at 919 brought 169.50. 40 at 959 brought 169.50. 60 at 988 brought 168.25. 6 head of heifers at 396 brought 200. 5 at 466 brought 175, 7 at 511 brought 176, 6 at 638 brought 162, 25 at 694 brought 155.50, 8 at 751 brought 168.50, 26 at 864 brought 164, butcher cows were 10 to 95, butcher bulls brought 51 to 108, bred cows were 1060 to 1350, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To get signed, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, welcome back. Well, it's Friday, and today is Wheeler General Store. Happy Cap Hour all hour long here on the Today in Ag show. The Wheeler General Store is the go-to store in Wheeler County, from animal feed and farm and ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies. They are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity Pepley, take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, their team will be there ready to help you with all your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items that they offer. Delivering feed is their specialty. They've been a high-pro dealer for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma, Kansas, and New Mexico. Located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside of Wheeler, Texas, they look forward to serving you. And I want to tell you something. That pair right there, Nathan and Charity Heffley, they do a lot to support the Wheeler community, the Wheeler County community, and they help a lot in Shamrock. They help over here in Oklahoma. They are very supportive of the people in our area, and they're good people like that is hard to come by. So anyway, thank you, Nathan and Charity, for what you do in our community. All right, let's check out our temperature here on the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center. Currently, it is 43.9 degrees here at Elk City, 51% humidity, and the wind just kind of messing around out there, 5, 4, 6 miles an hour around here in the, around the studio. I was looking at the two-inch soil temperature, and, you know, these last few nights of cold has brought the temperature down just a little bit. In southwestern Oklahoma, around Altus and Mangum, soil temperature at 2 inches is around 40 degrees. Get on back up here around Cheyenne, it's 36. Arnett's at 38. And Woodward, there it is, would come up, is at 36. The coolest ground temperature I actually found was Freedom, Oklahoma, and that's 34 degrees, and also out at Goodwell as is at 34 degrees too. So that's the coolest ground temperatures I can find for 2 inch. So there you have it. Okay, let's see what's happening currently right now with our grain and livestock. Corn for March 683, May 679, July 666. Looks like everything's in the red today but livestock. Soybeans for March, 1511, May's 1505, 1496 for July. Soybean meal for March, 47490, May is 46080, 45070 for July. Soybean oil, March, $60.35, 6056 for May, 6053 for July. Hard red winter wheat, it's actually in the green. March, 867, up a little over 2 today. May is up over 3 at 861. Oats is actually in the green too. March is 388 and May is 380. Matter of fact, I'm thinking about oats. As soon as that ground thaws out from next week's winter storm, this cat here is going to get his oats in the ground. That's my plan, Stan. Cotton, March, 87 cents a pound. May is 88 cents a pound. Live cattle for February, 156.67. April's 160.75. June is 157.70. August is 157.67. Feeder cattle for March, 183.17. April's 187.17. Lean hogs for February, 76.07. April, 86.37. May is 95, even across the board. Looks like NASDAQ, S&P, Dow, they're all up slightly today. But oil, gasoline, natural gas, all in the red. Natural gas, matter of fact, big time. It's below $3 now at $2.90 for February and $2.83 for March per 1,000 cubic feet. I think that's what it is. And crude oil for West Texas oil, March is at 79.63 and April is 79.90. All right, let's see what happened at Woodward yesterday. As soon as I find out where I put it, this computer's not big enough for me. Ranch, there. Where is it at? Oh, one more. Sorry, there it is. I found it. It was hidden up there. All right, yesterday at Woodward, they had their regular weekly calf sale. It was down quite a bit. 779 head. When I say down quite a bit, I'm talking about the quantity. 779 head. Anyway, last week they had 4,600 head, and a year ago yesterday they had 4,000 head. Receipts were light this week due to the winter storm in the area. There was not enough receipts in any one class for an accurate trend. However, demand was moderate to active on the available cattle. Quality was average. Supplies included 100% feeder cattle, and of those they had there yesterday, 47% were over 600 pounds. So let's check it out here. Had some unwinged 322-pounders. We're bringing up to 228, 378. Winged, 240, 416s, 244 was high end. 500-pounders in the 5 to 600-pound range. 527s winged, we're bringing 219. 588s, $1.84 in the 600-pound range. They were bringing, looks like, up to $1.83 was top end. Average was in the 180, so it was they had a pretty good run on those. 800-pounders up to $1.84 also, and they had some small load of 902-pounders that brought $1.65. On the heifers, let's see here, in the 3 to 4 range, they had some 341s brought up to $2. Had some 429-pounders brought up to $1.93, and some unwinged ones that weighed 431 did pretty good. Must have been good quality calves brought up to $2. And then heifers weighing 607, $1.75. And then they had down here in the bulls, they had, here's some big load that averaged 525 on the bulls, brought 216. And they were winged, though. Anyway, that's what happened at Woodward yesterday. How about that? Okay. Anyway, what else we got going on this segment here? Oh, I want to talk about the Jimmy's bull and female sale calendar. Today's producer I'm going to talk about is Harrison Cattle Company over here in Arapahoe. Their 2023 production sale will be Tuesday, March the 21st. Bull and female sale at 12 noon at the ranch. They're at 22551 East 990 Road in Arapahoe. Leslie and Jan Harrison, give them a call at 580-331-8103 or just go to www.harrisoncattlecompany.com. And they got a big old nice ad in the Penny News. So you want to learn more about that, check them out and be great. I had a response on the text line a while ago when I was talking about the snow, 500 inches of snow. The response I got was 500 inches is roughly 8.5 people that is 6 foot tall. So anyway, that's how much snow they've got on that slope so far. From what I've been seeing, California's lakes and Utah's lakes, they should be getting pretty full, and even into Nevada, because around Lake Tahoe, they've got just as much snow as anybody, if not more. I'm sure they're, after that storm just went through, they're 600 inches of snow. I don't know. It's deep. It's a lot of snow. We don't need that here. We need about 6 to 8 inches, just like we got. Let it melt. Bring us in some more. That'll work out for me. All right, when I come back, I want you guys to be thinking about this. What? Because I'm going to tell that little John Wayne story about him and cattle and cotton. I want you to be thinking about this and text this in to me at 580-225-9697. That's the Today in Ag text line. What is your favorite all-time ranch or farm movie? What is your favorite all-time ranch or farm movie? Be texting that in to me, and when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about the Duke.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
you can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. And that's what we want. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference. Napa Auto Parts, 716 West 3rd, Elk City, Oklahoma. Napa know-how.
Farming is the greatest family business in America. It's teamwork between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. Generation after generation of families working together to provide our local area with the food we need to live and grow our local economy. We owe a lot to our local farmers and ranchers. We're proud to be your bank. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Confession, I'm a hopeless romantic, and I love a deal. I just went to Kohl's and earned Kohl's cash, plus got an extra 15% off already great deals, like 60% off a necklace for my mom and 40% off PJs for my daughter. Not to mention, I found myself a fragrance set from Sephora at Kohl's for less than $50. With more gifts and more savings, what's not to love? Select styles. Offers end January 29th. Sephora coupons and Kohl's cash do not apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 20th. 1,592 head were sold, 6 head of steers at 389, brought 250, 7 at 489, brought 203, 3 at 575, brought 182, 15 at 642, brought 185, 11 at 732, brought 174, 8 at 751, brought 177.50, 6 at 858, brought 171.50, 5 head of heifers at 434, brought 179, 6 at 488, brought 192, 3 at 525, brought 170, 10 at 550, brought 171, 11 at 620, brought 172.50, 5 at 734, brought 164, butcher cows were 5 to 88, butcher bulls brought 75 to 114, bred cows were 650 to 1825, pairs brought 1325 to 2175. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Beef is on the menu at Hudson Angus Farms. Their 10th annual bull and female sale is Saturday, January 28th at 1 p.m. at the farm west of Elk City. Selling 65 head of 2-year-old and 18-month-old feed intake tested bulls. Also selling 20 head of bred heifers and 16 head of bred second calf cows. To see the catalog and videos, go to their website, HudsonAngusFarms.com, or find Hudson Angus Farms on Facebook. The Hudson Angus Farms Spring Bull Sale, Saturday, January 28th. Lunch at noon. Sale starts at 1 o'clock west of Elk City.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here's your forecast for northwestern Oklahoma and the northeastern part of the Texas Panhandle. I picked Lahoma, Oklahoma today. What's going on out there in Lahoma today? 51 degrees currently. The winds are out of the southwest at 8 with wind gust up to 12. Humidity is 48%. We got sunny today in 54 with light wind. I thought it was supposed to be windy and crap today, but I guess not. Anyway, tomorrow mostly sunny, 56 degrees. Tomorrow night you're going to cool down from 56 to 18, so get ready. Sunday mostly cloudy, 30 degrees for a high. Sunday night even colder, 13. Monday, 26 degrees for a high. Monday night, a 20% chance of slight chance of snow or sleet, 16 for low. And Tuesday, chance of snow showers and 29 for your high. So that is your forecast for Lahoma, Oklahoma. All right, just a moment of silence right now. I just found out that a dear friend of mine passed this morning. He's a farmer, rancher, worked in the oil field. I worked with his son before, but anyway, my condolences and my prayers and thoughts go out to Mr. To the family of John Barnett here in Elk City. I hate it. And anyway, just a moment of silence here if you don't mind. Okay. If I get the right one up here. There it is. Let's talk about John Wayne. And I've already got a text in from a friend of mine over at Sayre from Mangum. Anyway, I'll tell you what his text says afterward. Anyway, the text line is wide open. We've already got about a half a dozen or dozen names in, but 580-225-9697. Text in the name of your all-time favorite ranch or farm movie. And there's nothing to win today. Sorry, don't have anything to give away unless you want this cough drop I've been sucking on here for the last 20 minutes. I'll give you that. But anyway, here is the true untold story about John Wayne and his real-life Red River Ranch in Arizona. The famous Hollywood movie actor John Wayne had a fond history with Arizona that stretches back to the late 50s when the Hollywood cowboy legend purchased 4,000 acres of farmland. I want you to think about that. This was in the late 50s. He purchased 4,000 acres of farmland around Stanfield, just south of west of Phoenix. He borrowed and paid $4 million for the acreage. Think about that. In the late 50s, $4 million because his tax attorney thought it would be a good investment. John Wayne financed a cotton crop through the Anderson Clayton Company of Phoenix, one of the largest cotton brokers in the world. Then, due to a lack of time and farming experience, Wayne paid the AC Cotton Company to farm the land for him. It soon became clear to Wayne that Anderson Clayton Company didn't know how to farm cotton either. During Wayne's many visits to his cotton farm, he noticed the farm of his neighbor, Lewis Johnson, was doing considerably better than his own. The Duke's farm was struggling, so he called his brokerage people and asked who the best cotton farmer in the area was. They told him it was Lewis Johnson, his neighbor. When everyone else was getting 2.5 bales to the acre, Lewis was getting 4 bales. Convinced that Johnson was the farmer Wayne needed to make his floundering property a success, he called him, explaining he couldn't come to Arizona because he was in the middle of making a film. He offered to cover all expenses if Johnson would fly to Hollywood to talk with him. Johnson agreed to meet Wayne, and the outcome of the discussion was that Johnson would manage Wayne's cotton crop for 1 year for $14,000. If the farm produced 3 bales per acre, he would receive an additional 50,000 acres. And if it produced 4 bales of cotton, he would get an additional $100,000. Johnson produced 4.22 bales to the acre that year, earning Wayne in excess of $1 million. But the success was not obstacle-free. During the cotton harvest, agents from the bank showed up to the field to repossess 10 mechanical cotton harvesters. Lewis marched over to the bank and signed a nearly $800,000 note so that they wouldn't take the equipment. John Wayne was so impressed by the success of his newfound manager, the two decided to merge Wayne's 4,000-acre farm with Johnson's 6,000-acre farm, and they become partners. The 10,000-acre farm become one of the largest in Arizona. The two partners had been running, had a running bet that if Lewis was able to produce more than 4 bales per acre a year, that Duke would buy him a Cadillac. Every year but one, Wayne bought Lewis a new Cadillac car. Johnson renovated a bedroom for Wayne. John did. Wayne renovated a bedroom for Wayne to stay in at his place and made family trips to the Johnson residence often. His wife, Lewis's wife, Alice, helped to shave off some weight on the upcoming movie role. She said, "I would follow a diet plan with a book called Diet Watcher's Guide. It was sort of an old-time Weight Watchers program, according to Alice, Johnson's wife. The real key to his weight loss was specially designed bathroom in which every surface was mirrored except for the ceilings. Wayne also was always be able to see his body from every angle to help him drop the weight." While the cotton business treated the two men, federal government cutbacks on water allocations in Arizona in the 1960s aimed at preventing southwestern cotton farmers from putting others in the nation out of business. That's interesting, huh? He pushed Wayne and Johnson towards cattle ranching. Johnson and Wayne built an 18,000-head feedlot at Stanfield, Arizona, just a few miles away, and soon expanded into cattle breeding with an operation in Springerville, Arizona that covered 50,000 acres. Wayne named the Arlington Cattle Company Red River Ranch Land Company after his favorite movie as an actor. There you go. In addition to the Springerfield Ranch, the feedlot they had expanded to 85,000 head, becoming the largest privately owned feedlot in the United States. However, in 1974, housewives from across the nation, enraged by skyrocketing beef prices, staged a brief but powerful boycott, sending the Wayne Johnson cattle operation into the red. "We lost millions," Alice Johnson said. "It was amazing that Lewis could just come to bed every night, close the door, and not worry about a thing." To counteract the failing cattle prices, John Wayne and Lewis Johnson reduced the number of cattle in their feedlot to 8,500, but the bankers were not going to let Wayne give up on the business. The bankers insisted that to begin buying cattle despite being low on credit. They told Wayne to keep buying cattle until they told him to stop. Wayne and Johnson began buying cattle again in January of 1975, and by June had expanded the operation from 8,500 head to 85,000 head again. The partnership between the two men ended later that year when John Wayne finally passed away at cancer. But many residents of Springerfield and still have fond memories of him. So anyway, when Wayne died in 1979, Johnson decided it was best for him to exit the cattle business also. The Wayne children were going to sell the Duke's portion, so we decided it'd be a good time to get out of the business, and rather than getting stuck with a partner we didn't know. So there you go. I had a text in from Rusty Double R. He said, "I've been to the 26 Bar Ranch in Arizona. My family used to buy cattle from John Wayne back in the late 60s and early 70s. So it's a small world out there. All right, let's see what the text line looks like. Oh, boy, all kinds of stuff going on here. Let me go over a couple of them briefly before we got to take a break. McClintock, that's one of my favorite. Christy Mouse, she said she likes the Cowboys. Rare Breed with Jimmy Stewart and Marie O'Hara about bringing Hereford genetics to Texas. I remember that. It was actually a pretty funny movie. And A Race Against the Harvest movie. That was one of another gentleman's favorite. There's a few of them. Well, when I come back, we'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast on this Wheeler General Store Happy Cap Hour. Here's Mr. Jerry Nine.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First out last Tuesday, January 24th. We sold 175, had a light run of cows and bulls, but extremely good market with our cows and bulls, $10 to $17 a hundred higher. Thursday, January 26th, we had a lighter run of kids and feeders, selling 779 for a total of 954 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 92 to 101, 10 cows bring 74 to 83, with the bulls bringing 85 to 112. 2 to 3 year old bred cows, 1400 to 1575. Hunter steer cattle, 14 steers weighing 342, bring 245, 4 to 450, 239 to 244. 5 to 550, 205 to 219, 6 to 650, 177 to 182. 7 to 750 steers, 165 to 182. 8 to 850, 172 to 184. 62 steers, one bunch, weighing 861, bring 175. 8 steers, weighing 902, bring 165. Honor heifers, 3 to 350 heifers, 189 to $2. 4 to 450, 175 to $2. 550 to 6 weights, 165 to 174. 6 to 650, 167 to 175, with our 650 to 7 weight heifers, 162 to 166.50. Very good market this week with several feeder cattle set. They'll wait till next Thursday. For this Tuesday, January the 31st, we will have 40 bred cows. We also got 10 pairs. More by sell time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanksgiving, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at BNLRedAngus.
Mickey will go to bat for you. Anytime you've got a problem or, you know, a question, he's Johnny on the spot. If he doesn't know, he calls up higher to get it figured out. And we've got tractors insured, balers, combines, swathers, cattle, hay, home, anything you can think of, he's got it. And he's been called a few times. Mickey is really good about coming to see what you need. You know, he'll come to where you are to get your signature or go over something that he's run into a problem. You know, you can't beat that because we live 18 miles from his office. So it helps when he's willing to come to the house. He's done, you know, just whatever he needs to do, he'll be there.
I'm Jill Jerusha, and I'm a farmer and rancher in Southwest Oklahoma.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Beef is on the menu at Hudson Angus Farms. Their 10th annual bull and female sale is Saturday, January 28th at 1 p.m. at the farm west of Elk City. Selling 65 head of 2-year-old and 18-month-old feed intake tested bulls. Also selling 20 head of bred heifers and 16 head of bred second calf cows. To see the catalog and videos, go to their website, HudsonAngusFarms.com, or find Hudson Angus Farms on Facebook. The Hudson Angus Farms Spring Bull Sale, Saturday, January 28th. Lunch at noon, sale starts at 1 o'clock west of Elk City.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a huge trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale is happening February 22nd at 12:30 at the ranch near Leedy, selling 152-year-old bulls. Sires include Deer Valley Growth Fund, Monin Dakota 2528, and Baldridge Alternatives E125. Several other sires represented. Also selling commercial females carrying GC genetics. The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale happening Wednesday, February 22nd at 12:30 at Quartermaster Creek Ranch southwest of Leedy. You can also view the sale and bid online. For videos and sale information, log on to quartermastercreek.com.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
My newfound friend down there in the Frederick area, he texted in, what did he say here? He said that my dad and Lewis Johnson were friends and talked on the phone pretty often about cotton and Hereford bloodlines. And so I text him back, so why don't you grow 4-bale an acre cotton? He said, I have had 4-bale cotton only twice. All right, so my bad. Anyway, I was trying to make fun of him. He took me serious. Anyway, let's check out the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. And today I've chosen Fort Cobb. I know it's not truly southwestern, but it is western, central western. How about that? But we'll go with it. 51 degrees currently at Fort Cobb. Today, 54 and sunny. Tomorrow, 60 and partly sunny. Bottom falls out tomorrow night. Obviously, everybody knows 22 for a low. Sunday, 36. Sunday night, 16. Monday, well, I don't like seeing this, but it says 20% chance, slight chance of freezing rain, 29 for a high. Monday night, freezing rain, 30% chance, 18. And then Tuesday, chance of wintry mix at 31 degrees. That's your Over Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for Fort Cobb. How about that? I'm like, I got to do this cotton deal before I forget. get again today. Remember, anyway. Okay, let's see what happened in the cotton world last week. Got my report day before yesterday. I'm just now getting to it. Net export sales for the week ending on January 12th were 218,300 bales. That's 480-pound bales. This brings the total of 22-23 sales to 9.5 million bales. Total sales at the same point in 21-22 was 12 million bales, so it's down. Total new crop for 23 and 24 are already at 1.3 million bales. Shipments for the week for cotton was 195,100 bales, bringing total exports to date 4.4 million bales compared with the 3.7 million bales at a comparable point in the 21-22 year. All right, how about that? Okay, let's move on here. What have I got going on and I wanted to talk about here on the Wheeler Happy Cap Hour? I was going to say, oh, yeah, let's talk a little bit about thieves. I know I had the sheriff on from Beckham County here a couple weeks ago on a Monday or Tuesday. I don't remember. Anyway, we were talking about thieving and cattle out. Basically, we're talking about cattle out on the county roads and the highways and the interstates. But it looks like to me, looking at what I've seen in some reports going on with some sheriff's departments in our listening area, whether it's Texas or Oklahoma, the thieving is picking up a little bit. So the Texas and Southwestern Cattlemen's Razor Association, and I'm sure the OCA, have a few tips for you, and I'm going to read some of them. Lock your gates. That'll keep an honest thief honest, the way I see it. Brand your cattle and horses and make sure the brand is recorded with the county clerk or with the OCA here in Oklahoma. Put driver's license number on all saddles, tack, and equipment. Video horses and tack. Keep complete and accurate descriptions on file. Establish and organize easy-to-find proof of ownership file to save in time and in the recovery process. Count your cattle regularly. Don't establish a routine when feeding. Vary the time so thieves can detect a pattern. That brings something to my mind. We'll talk about after this. Be cautious of who you give keys and gate combinations to. If possible, park trailers and equipment where they're out of view from the roadway. Keep tack rooms and saddle compartments on trailers locked. Don't feed in the pens or trailers. Participate in neighborhood crime watch program. And that means either 30-30. 45, or I know most farmers surely don't use 6.5 Creedmoors because that's for those other guys. 30-06 or 7 mag would be just fine, or 308. Don't build pens close to the roadway, and that's something I do regret down there on that one deal at Willow, and is having that pen just right next to that blacktop. Never leave keys in the tractor or other equipment, and most of those are no-brainers, so you can get a long way in deterring crime. And if crime does occur, those also help aid in recovery. So anyway, we got Oklahoma Agriculture Department Rangers. We got Texas Rangers. We got them all on our side in our neighborhood. It just don't really pay to be a thief, but they're... there's been semi-loads, not just one or two. There's been semi-loads of hay being stolen up north. This one in there, you know, it's so far from wherever they're at, and it was on a Sunday, probably gone to church or just having a family day, and come back next day. Tractor's still there, but the hay's gone. So anyway, just be careful with what you're doing out there. Make a good record of everything. I got every cow I own and I take care of in my book. Hopefully nobody ever steals my pipe tally book, but I got it in there and I know what I got. And so anyway, last year I went over this article from Oklahoma State University, and it was talking about feeding cattle, when to feed cows that were going to calve. And, you know, it was an article about if you feed late in the afternoon or in the evening, there was a pretty good percentage that you're not going to calve during the night. You'd be calving during the day because they got their belly full that damn. Well, anyway, I got this friend. You know, he's one of those friends. So he, the day of the snow, he feeds. you know, he's got to feed during the day. And that night, and then again last night, he had a heifer that had a calf during the night. And he said, this feeding during the day messed up my deal and all that. So what do you guys think? Do you think just feeding one time during the day earlier than normal in less than 12 hours, it messed his cycle up? Or was that heifer just going to have those calves that night, or that calf that night, whether he fed him early or late? Anyway, good argument point. I know Kansas State and OSU have done those tests, but that's a big area that they cover in that deal. It's if you feed from noon till 8 in the evening, you're more than likely not going to calve until 4 the next morning, till 6 the next evening. So, I mean, that's a lot of hours. That's almost, you know, the whole day. But I believe it works. Don't get me wrong. But to switch in one day and have a calf that night, I got to argue with him. Me and him was arguing on the phone. It took me all the way from Willow to Sayre to finally get him shut up, quit arguing about it. So, anyway, that was what that was about. So, anyway, if you got an answer, we got a few minutes left in the show. Just text it in at 580-225-9697. Coming up next month, get this on your calendar. I'm giving you a little more heads up than I did the Georgia peanut deal. February 24th through the 26th at the American Royal Complex, which is a great complex in Kansas City, Missouri. Right where the Missouri and the Kansas come together, rivers come together. Anyway, it's a beautiful place. They're having the Western Farm Show, and they got lots going on. So if you want to check it out, just go to westernfarmshow.com or get on Facebook. You'll find it. But that's a huge farm and ranch show they'll be having up there, and it'll be a good time. February, you'll be done calving for the most part, hopefully, and go up there and go check out that Western Farm Show. I just wanted to inform you guys a little bit about it. All right, let me go back to my emails, and I got an email on what kind of some of the stuff that happened yesterday at the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association meeting. If you didn't make it, they reviewed branded bills, bills that the OCA will be working this session, including both those that are positive and negative to our industry. Then also the NCBA and the OCA have filed suit along with a host of other organizations against the EPA for the new WOTUS, Waters of the USA rule. And I'm telling you, this rule bothers me. I talked to my nephew yesterday, and I guess he had talked to some people at state OKC yesterday, and they didn't seem to be that concerned about it, but I am. You let them people get their foot in their door. They still hadn't specified it. So the OCA did say they will continue to push back on the bad rule that seeks to have more federal authority on landowners. OCA and four other states, along with the NCBA, filed suit against the U.S. Fish and Wildlife for the listing of the lesser prairie chicken under the Endangered Species Act. I'm trying to figure that out. It seems like there's some politics involved in that deal because, you know, they had them on the Endangered Species Act. And with 90% of the help coming from landowners, ranchers and farmers out in the Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma Panhandle, northwestern Oklahoma, doing this on their own without any help from the government, got the prairie chicken stabilized and come back. And then, boom, all of a sudden, they put them back on the Endangered Species Act again. So, you know, the listing requires producers in critical habitat areas like far northwestern Oklahoma to have grazing management plans approved by third-party entities. Those third-party entities have not been identified yet. So there's more going on there. So anyway, that was some of the topics that they discussed. And I'm going to see if I can get somebody to come in and talk about that lesser prairie chicken deal. And I'm going to get somebody, I'm going to try to get Representative Lucas or somebody to come on and talk about this WOTUS deal. And we'll keep on it. And we got some land grab information coming up for you next week. So be sure to get by and, or listen to that. It'd be interesting to say. So thanks, Lori, for emailing me that. And remember, tomorrow, Hudson Angus Farms. 12 o'clock lunch, 1 o'clock sale time. 65 bulls and some females going on there. You don't want to miss that. All right, let's see what else I got going. Oh, here we go. Chicken. Egg prices continue to set all-time per dozen price records, and a Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service expert does not expect that trend to reverse in the near future. For a year-to-year comparison on egg prices, prices reached $4.25 per dozen on average in December 2022. Dozen eggs was $1.79 at the same time last year. September 2015 was the highest last time at $2.97 per dozen. So here's my deal. Prices have gone up because of this, but you'll still go spend $8 on a cup of coffee versus $6 for eggs. Come on, you'll get more benefit out of those eggs. Just get after it. We'll see you guys Monday.